through 13. John Boy's got his assistant here today, his sister. He sure looks a lot better today, don't he? God bless all you. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to talk to you today about the heads of the children. The heads of the children. And you'll see how I tie this in. There's a real truth here for Father's Day. America's in trouble. And the reason America's in trouble is because the homes of America are in trouble. The country will go and be as strong as the homes will. And if you want America to be a strong America, an America blessed by God, we've got to have homes that honor God and worship God and serve God and walk with God. Amen? Well, it starts with the head of the house, the man. And today I want to challenge the men as much as the ladies, but I want to challenge the men that today's Father's Day. And I want to challenge you to be the head of the home as God has shown us in the Word. Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read three verses. Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I've asked Brother Mark not to have choir practice today, so you've got all day for Father's Day. We know it's a special day, but I'm going to preach on Jerusalem tonight, the city of God. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. But tonight I'm going to be preaching about Jerusalem, the city of God. Jesus, I'll start out with what Jesus said, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem. And we're going to share some thoughts to you about Jerusalem. And then at the end, I'm just going to read a lot of Old Testament scripture about Jerusalem to you. I'm just caught up right now with Israel and Jerusalem. If you don't love Israel and you're a Christian, there's something wrong. You ought to love Israel. You ought to love the Jewish people. That's where our Messiah came from. And our Messiah, the Savior, loves them. Yes, they have to be saved just like you and I. But we ought to have a love for Jerusalem, the city of God. It's a holy city. It's a city of righteousness, a city of truth. It's God's city. it's a special city. You saw a holy ground. That is holy ground. I'd like to go to Jerusalem someday. How many have ever been to Israel? Anyone ever been to Israel? I know Ruthie Hill's been there, and she's home today, maybe in the nursery. But they say once you go to Israel, Brother Tim, you're never the same. The Bible comes alive to you. And so that would be before the rapture. That's one of my heart's desires, is to go to Israel. Let's look at the scripture. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, look what God said to Moses. Verse 2, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. He gave it to them. Don't try to take that land away from those people. God gave it to them. Amen. It's theirs. They got clear deed title, the creator of the earth and heaven. He gave it to them. Give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Verse 3, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. I want to talk to you about the heads of the children today. Heavenly Father, I really believe you put in my heart to preach this message this morning. And I pray I can do well for you. Because I know if I can do well for you, Father, I can be a blessing to the people. Bless our homes today. Bless bless our families. Lord, I think about Brother Kenny. Tomorrow he'll have that biopsy. I pray that, Lord, that there'll be no cancer. Lord, I just pray that Kenny will be healthy and that nothing would happen. Just put a protection around him and keep him well. And Lord, let him stay here till the rapture. Keep him, and Colette, thank you for both of them. Bless them. Pray for Brother Marty, that everything will go well with Brother Marty. I pray that you'll help Brother Bobby recover. Thank you for the, Lord, what a miracle surgery you gave him. Just a phenomenal surgery. I want to praise you from the pulpit for what you did for Brother Bobby last week. Thank you for Miss Shannon Skyver that had surgery. I pray you'll help her as she recovers. And I'll bless our church, Father, and bless all these men here today. God, bless these men. Help these men to see the responsibility they have of being the heads of their homes. Help me to do well to speak for you today. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I want to be a sobering thought of being men, of being the heads of the children. Now, when we read this scripture in Numbers 13, this took place about 1,500 years before Christ was born, about 15 B.C. And these men that were heads of the 12 tribes, these heads of the children made some major mistakes. And those mistakes of these men that were sent in cost their families, their children, great profit and great loss. And they brought on sorrow that they needed not have if these heads of men would have made the right decisions. Right. Fellas, the decisions we make for our families, it affects our kids and our family forever.
Right.
And although this was done 1,500 years ago, the sad thing is 3,500 years later, although this was done 1,500 years before Christ, 3,500 years later, Brother Bobby, it's been 3,500 years now since that's happened, approximately. And Mark, we're still making the same mistakes that they made. In 2011, men are still making the same errors that these heads of children made back then. And you wonder, men, why the homes are in such poor condition today with divorce rate over 50% and broken homes and broken lives and shattered lives. I'll tell you why, because men, we're still making the mistakes that I'm going to show you here in Numbers 13. Let's look at a few things about these men that I want you to see that I pray that we can learn from. The Bible says we should learn from the scriptures. Amen? They're written for our learning. And let's look at number one. I wrote down about four questions, I think. Number one, here's the first question. Why were these 12 men chosen to be the promise, go in the promised land and spy out the land? Why were these 12 men chosen to go out and spy the land? Why were they? Well, if you look in verse 3, the reason they were chosen is because they were the heads of the tribes. And they were each one of these men were the head of the 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 tribes, and each one of these men that were chosen were the head of those tribes. I'm here with me. So they, and if look at verse 3, and what it says there, the last verse there, all those men were what? Read with me. Heads of the children of, how many see that? So they were at the heads, they were leading up those families of their tribes. And then, if you notice, they were the head of their tribe. God made us, he made us, fellas, God made us the head of our homes. He made us the head of our families. And that doesn't mean you have to be Lord and master, but you're supposed to take the leadership.
Right.
Hello? Boy, quiet in here. People are either reading the Bible or they're just another place from me right now. Ephesians 5:23 says this, for the husband is the head of the wife. We are the head, Bobby. They just turn our neck. Ephesians 6:4. I'll make some jokes and maybe I'll get you to come with me on this message. Ephesians 6:4, it says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In other words, fellas, we're to train our children. We are to give spiritual guidance. We are to teach them about the things of God. We're to walk before them with the things of God. And we are to bring our kids up in the ways of God and the fear of God. Admonition. In other words, hey, you better not do this because there's going to be a recourse if you do. You know, a lot of times, I don't believe in spanking. God does. God does. The Bible says he chastens his children. He spanks us. Amen? Well, notice, men, it's our duty. Men, it's our duty to be the head of the home and to our wife and children, to love them, to train them up in the ways of God, to warn them about the things of God. Listen, men, look up here, fellas. God's given us the responsibility. He didn't give Brother David responsible for my family. He gave it to me. Mark, you're responsible for your family. Hello? Yes. Brother Cooley, you're responsible for your family. Every one of you men, Brother Tim, you're responsible for your family. And by the way, every one of us have that same responsibility, and every one of us have that same duty. Yes. Now, I want you to see something. They were chosen because they were the head of the children. You're the head of your children. And also, look at number two, same verse. Did you notice who gave the command? Did you notice who gave him the commandment to go forward? Look at verse 3. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord. Moses told him, but who gave him the marching orders? God gave him the marching orders. What Moses, God said, Moses, you tell him, here's what I want them to do. Hello? What Moses, it was God. By the way, can I tell you something, fellas? All of us got the same commander-in-chief. God's given us, he's given us the marching orders. Not the preacher, not that preacher, not the deacon. It's God that gives us that. Now, it was God Almighty that gave that command, and it's God Almighty that gives us our command. And I want you to notice number three, in verse 18 and 19, what were they to see and spy out? What were they to see? If you look at verse 18 and 19, they were supposed to do something. They to see and spy out something. Number one, in verse 18, they were supposed to see the land. Verse 18, they were supposed to see the people. And verse 19, they were rather to see what is good or bad. How many see those scriptures? Now listen, men, we're to choose the right places where we take our families. Look up here, fellas. You need to make... It's your responsibility to make sure your family's in the right place. The places you go, the places your family lives, the church. By the way, it's your responsibility to have your kids in church. Right. And the right church. Right. And it makes a difference what church you go to. Right. I'm not saying Bethel Baptist Church is the only church in America. I'm just telling you, I'm glad we got one that's the right church, though. Yep. But that got the truth. And by the way, there's a lot of people that are sincere, but they go to the wrong places. Those men are losing their family and their duty to God to take their family to the right places. Can I say amen to you? Where you go to church, where you work. Let me stick this in. Where you send your kids to school. You have a duty to make sure you have your kids in the right place. You better think about sending your kids to heathen, filthy schools. I think you ought to consider putting them in the Bethel Baptist Christian Academy because it's the right place for your kid to be. You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. That's all right. I've been here 20 years. A lot of people haven't liked me for 20 years. You say, well, I never. You stay around me, you'll never a lot. I don't say you have to go to a Christian school, but I'm saying, I'll tell you one thing, as wicked as the public schools are today, if I had a choice, I'd want the place for my children, I'd want at Bethel Baptist Christian Academy. By the way, I don't need your kids. We got so many kids now, we don't even have nowhere to put them. So trust me, I don't need your kids to keep our school going. We've never advertised it. West, we've never advertised the school. God just keeps bringing the people in. There, he was talking to a guy last week about our school. There's people signing up for our school already. We just got out. Now people are signing up for more for the next year. You know what? If you love your child, you'd want to consider where your kids are going. Well, I can't afford it. Really? You're right. You better wait. By the way, I never had any money. Still don't. I told my kids that don't, when I die, don't look for no inheritance. I gave it to them already. But I never had no money from a ministry. We've never had no money. But even when my kids grew up, we were poor as old Job's turkey. But my kids went to Christian school. We sacrificed. And by the way, people do what they want to do. That's it. You got the money for what you want. That's it. We buy things that we like. Hello? Yeah. Boy, it's really quiet. Man, is it quiet today. Woo! Man, Bobby, it's so quiet. It's as quiet today in this church as it is on a turkey farm the night before Thanksgiving. But God has given every man here the duty and the responsibility to make the right choices, to make the right choices for your family, for your children, for your home. And God's expecting us to make the right choices. Boy, I'm glad my voice is doing better. It was really hurting me Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's why I didn't go to church even Wednesday. You didn't see, and I didn't go in there because it was hurting me so much. But I just kept drinking that silver stuff, man. And Vince, Friday morning, and I drank some before I came, too. Hey, amen. I don't know what's in that stuff, Annie, but it works. Drank a whole bottle of it. If a little's good for you, a whole lot better. Amen. Couldn't get a hold of the doctor, so I had Dr. Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Since the preacher got double pneumonia, every time something attacks my lungs, I get worried. I'm calling the doctor more than I've ever called. I've called the doctor more this year, Mildred, than I did in the 60 years prior. I remember years ago, I'll get off this and I'll start preaching in a minute. We took out a life insurance policy, and the life insurance man said, well, who's your doctor? I said, I don't have one. He said, no, come on. Who is your doctor? I said, I don't have a doctor. I don't go to doctors. He said, preacher, you're going to one now because I can't write you a life insurance policy unless you have a doctor. So I went to a doctor, gave him a name. Hello? Doctors are good. I've got a good one. I got to Dr. Suzella. See, he's a young guy. He's a born-again Christian. Goes to a Baptist church up in Milford, and he's a good man. Hello? And I go to his office up in Middlefield, but on Tuesdays and Fridays. I know the way, amen? Usually I stop at McDonald's on the way back at McDee Cottrell's and get the coffee. Then once in a while I have a Big Mac to go with it. Well, the big boy has to have something. Where was I now? I got to get back this message. Men, we're to choose the right places for our family. And by the way, how we choose determines how our kids will be affected. I know you say, man, what's preacher? This thing happened 3,500 years ago, what preacher's preaching on. It's back to the children of Israel. But I'm going to tell you, it affected their children. Those decisions of those 12 men, actually 10 of them, Caleb and Joshua, they wanted to go in. But 10, they chose 12, 10 too many, didn't they? They just took the two there. But those ten men of those other tribes, Brother Carl, because of their bad decision, they affected their families. And you men, I want to give you on some sobering thought today. I want you to understand that your decisions that you make affect you and your families. Can anyone say amen? Men, we are to choose the right people. They said the land. They're supposed, and then the people, verse 18. We are to choose the people that God wants our children to associate with.
Right.
Hello? We are the affected China children that our kids associate with. Well, preacher, they can pick out their own friends. No. You need to help them with some good guidance to run with the right crowd. I thank God Jesse's here. Boy, you look sharp today, Jess. And I always know he always brings little Jesse. Sharp little kid. He's sharp. He is sharp. If the Lord doesn't come back, I hope little Jesse becomes a preacher.
Amen.
And I hope he spits like this preacher here. I'm going to teach him. When he gets a little older, I'm going to teach him how to spit. Here, Jesse. Here's how you do it, son. I think God's going to use little Jesse. Remember, I said that. I'll probably be in heaven. He'll be down there preaching his Bible. Amen.
Amen.
But what Jesse does with little Jesse affects what happens in his life. And those kids, he needs his daddy to put some input. No, those boys are bad for your. No, those kids are in the wrong crowd. Because you know what? We've got families today that are out of church.
Right.
Because their kids got with the wrong crowd. And if your kids get with the wrong crowd, it's going to affect them in an adverse way.
Yes.
Look and see where your kids are doing. Oh, hello?
Yes.
You that got kids, look and see what your kids are doing. Who are they associating? Take some time for your children. Their lives are important. And you men, you're the heads of those children. And you're supposed to watch over them and affect where they live and who their friends are, verse 18. Men, we also choose what's good and bad, evil, verse 19, what that God wants for our children. Many say, preacher, they can make their own choices. And I say hogwash.
Amen to that.
I'm glad. I'm going to get some of you mad at me. I probably got you mad already. We're talking about Nat-Nat. Nat-Nat doesn't have a cell phone.
Amen.
Either this Tippy Brook and either this Lukey.
Amen.
Lukey wouldn't have one. He's like, Lukey's a lot like his grandpa. He has a temper. He would smash it. But they're not going to have a cell phone. You know why? They don't need one. And you can say all you want. Your kids don't need a cell phone. All they're doing is texting and doing that stuff on the phone. And that's not good for them. They're talking to boys and stuff and girls, whatever. And they're saying things. And they're showing things that they ought not be doing. And that thing's having a bad influence on them. And you ought to say, you know what? I'm the head of this home. I'm responsible for their life. God's given me a duty and a responsibility to take care of my kids, to make sure what's good, what's bad for them. Get rid of the phone. Well, they needed to call me. Hey, Mac, when you and I needed to make a phone call when we were kids, we found a phone.
That's right. They won't need to call.
And you young people, back when preacher was your age, young, they had party lines.
Yeah.
And when you called, you might have picked up, there was somebody on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had to wait for them to get off so you can make a phone call. Hello? And it was the old dial. How many remember? Or the crank. I didn't have a crank, but I did see them. Did you ever crank one? You say, boy, preacher. See, there's not a whole lot dividing me and Ben Franklin. See, you've got vintage here. You've got young and great, and you've got good and vintage here. I'm a vintage guy. You know, when you get old, they call you vintage. How many are still with me? No, God has put your life in their life to help them and to make them right. Now, you can't make them make the right choices all the time. I can't make my kids do everything when I'm not with them. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I can do all I can to have an effect on it. Note number 4, verse 23 through 25. Look what I like this. 23 and 25. and they came to the brook of Eshcol. You know the story, how they went in. How many of you remember the story? God sent them in there. They were supposed to come back and be excited. And they said, oh, we can't because there's annexed a giant to there, and we can't do it. How many remember the story? And they came, look at verse 23. They came to brook Eshcol, and they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. Just one cluster of grapes. And it took two guys to carry it, Brian. Wow! Yabba-dabba-doo! Give me some of them grapes, baby. See, they were bringing back fruit. They were bringing back fruit to show their children. They were bringing back fruit to nourish their children. They were bringing back fruit to establish that God's word was true, because God said it would be like that. It was just like God said. Notice, in 24, the place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. Man, 40 is the number of testing. God was testing them to see what they would do. Many times God's going to test you and I. See, men and ladies, God's going to test you and I to see if we pass the test. 10 of these guys didn't pass the test. But I want you to notice something. Men, we are to choose. They brought back fruit. They brought back fruit to their homes, and they bore fruit for their children. Now get this thought from that. Listen, we are to show forth fruit, spiritual fruit. Men, are you hearing me? Ladies, are you hearing me? We're to show spiritual fruit, like faith and teaching the word of God to them and walking in faith. Listen. We're to give spiritual fruit to our family. That's one of the responsibilities and duties that these men had, to bring back fruit. Men, one of the responsibilities for you and I as men, as the head, oh, we like to be, I'm the head honcho here, buddy. I wear the trousers here. Yeah, you look like a moron, though. Buckle. Yeah, you think I'm bad. You ought to see my wife. Look in the mirror, buckle. She lost out way more than you did. Hello? Boy, it's quiet here today. But I've noticed something. I noted this. We are to return with fruit for our children, so our children will grow up and learn to bear fruit. Let me read a couple of scriptures. We use this for soul winning. And it is for soul winning, but I believe it's also talking about the family. Let me just quote you this. Jesus said in John 15:5, Jesus said this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If we don't abide in Christ, we don't read our Bible, don't walk with him, don't obey him, we're not going to bear no fruit. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. How many are with me? Now, this is not just talking about soul winning. I believe it's also talking about bearing fruit in our family with our wife and our children. When you have your family devotions with your children, that's good stuff. Yeah. When you walk in faith, you and Tammy, that's good stuff. When they see you pray, that's good. Listen, when's the last time your kids saw you pray? Right. When's the last time that you sat down with your children and read the Bible to them? Right. Hello? Oh, it's getting quieter now. Come on, preacher. Father, they're supposed to be fun. It would be a lot more funner if we would do what we're supposed to be doing. When's the last time that you sat down and said, come here to your wife and said, come on, honey, we're going to read the Bible together. See, You're the head. You're the head of the home. You have the responsibility. You have the duty to give, bring the spiritual big grapes back to your home. And then, if you put the right fruit in your spiritual fruit in your children will learn how to bear fruit. You know why some of these girls want to stay pure? And it's more than just Nat. There's some other girls. I'm not going to say, but there's a lot of girls in this church that are staying pure for God till they get married.
Amen.
And some boys are staying pure till they get married.
Amen.
That's spiritual fruit.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
That's fruit. That's spiritual fruit. But you don't get that by accident. Our kids will be what they see and hear of us. What are we producing? Amen. How much spiritual fruit are we producing in our homes? Are we bearing much fruit with our children? Are we bearing much fruit for our children? Look at verse 26 and 27. 26 and 27. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word of them. And all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. How much fruit are you showing? Are we displaying fruit? How much fruit are we showing to God? And they told him, we came unto the land where thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Woo! Just like God said it would be.
Right.
Here it is. You know, they said the Lord was just like God said it would be. And I noticed, did you ever notice? The Bible always tells us the perfect way. And the Bible always shows us the truth. All we have to do is obey it and believe it. And then number five, and I'm getting near the end. Verse 28, though, look at 28. Nevertheless, let me see that. Nevertheless, the heads of the children, they doubted God's word.
That's right.
They doubted for God to provide for them. When we doubt God's word, we bring reproach upon our family.
That's right.
And our children and our wives. When you doubt God's word to tithe, Tammy grew up seeing her daddy tithe every week. I am pressed upon my kid that's God's money. We never had a lot. And there was times people brought groceries. I mean, we lived in almost, not poverty, but close to poverty as I ministered in Toledo. We don't live in poverty now. Bethel takes good care of me. But I, as a little girl, Tammy learned that we're going to, no matter, I don't care if we have $5 or $500, we're going to give God the first fruits of it. That's what Proverbs says.
Right.
Proverbs 3 teaches us to give the first fruits to God. And I've always, even when we had our gas shut off, but I kept tithing.
Right.
We went 3 months without gas in our home. And that preacher, Brother Fleming, thank you. That pastor's not too far from here. His church, at the time, he was doing chapel prayer, Baptist church. He, at a meeting, he came and said, you need something. His church sent me $350 when I was in Toledo. I never met the people in my life, never met him. And they sent me $350 and turned my gas back on. And I tithed off that money. I'll get quieter now. See, look, me and I'm saying something. Our kids watch if we walk by faith. See, it's always easy to, when things are, when we can do it by sight, that's not faith.
Right.
But when you got to walk by faith and not sight, then God blesses it.
That's right.
Hello? My Tammy saw me. I remember a car, my car, I had an old Ford LTD. We drove it for hundreds, thousands of miles. And one day the engine went, that's all, folks. And I told Rosie, we were passing the lighthouse, and I said, how much we got in the bank? She said, about $15. And big old gray Ford. And I said, wow. I don't know what we're going to do. Never said a word. We just prayed. We were living on Douglas Road. Had a phone call from a man from up in Waterville, Ohio. Had never been in my church. No, we live on Superior Street at the time. He had never been in our church. I didn't know who he was. He said, I heard about you. I've heard about your ministry on Galena Street. By the way, I was excited about you. That, don't say you can't do it. God's got a thing for you to do, and you can do it. Did you know the largest church in Toledo, Emmanuel Baptist, was running about 3,000 people? They tried to put a satellite down there a few blocks from Galena, and it collapsed. Two or three other guys went down, and then no one ever made it. The street kid went down there with no education. They couldn't even hardly read words. Hello? They had no Polish or Polish. Are you with me? And it's still there today, 30 years later.
Yep.
Don't tell me God can't do things.
Right.
He called up and said, hey, I just bought a car. God told me to give it to you. Can you get away up here? I said, well, give me the directions. He filled the tank out. He gave me, and I'm going back in the 80s. Are you with me? It was a 1976 Olds Cutlass Supreme.
Wow.
The seats swivel.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you. He said, yeah, I just bought this, God told me to give this to you.
Amen.
I said, isn't God good?
Amen.
He said, here's some groceries. And then he said, by the way, here's an envelope. Take this. There was a $50 check in there, too.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to tell you, I could tell you story after story after story. But we walked with God whether we had it or we didn't have it.
Right.
See, the trouble is when you don't have it, you say, God won't supply.
Right.
I did it when I didn't, even when it didn't have it. But see, he says, I'll supply your need. My God shall supply your need, not all your wants. Hello? We're fat cats. And by the way, you can tell I missed too many meals over the 40 years I've been preaching.
Right.
Our kids need to see faith in action.
Yes, they do.
Just like these soldiers had action in the service. You men, you hit the lines, and you shown action in the front line. And we're thankful for those men that were great soldiers. God's looking for some Christian soldiers that'll get down the trenches and fight and stick. Even when the bombs are flying, even when it looks like the darkness is setting in, you still stay true. Say, like that fellow in the Second World War, they told him, Bastogne? And they said, surrender. And he wrote back, nuts. That's what he wrote. And they held out to the servicemen got there. They took a beating, but they held. Nuts. A lot of times when the devil says, give up, you ought to give up. Why don't you give up? You ought to just say, oh, nuts. I'm going to keep living for God.
Amen.
Oh, nuts. I'm going to keep going for God. Oh, nuts. I'm not going to turn my back on God. Oh, no. I'm just going to keep on going. Go and not give up. Not say I give. No, we're more than victors and triumphers in Christ.
Yep. That's right.
We need some men today that will be leaders for God. Stand up and face good or bad when it rains or shines. Be a man for God.
Amen.
Let your faith go forward. Let your kids and your wife see a living faith of God in you.
Amen.
And that way, you'll have more spiritual fruit than buying them a new car.
That's right.
You don't need to buy them stuff. You need to see, you need to bring the fruit from God in their life.
That's right.
This is good. Did you know all that stuff was in here? Isn't that good stuff? Look at verse 32. They brought up an evil report. Did you ever notice every time people get backslidden, they talk about the preacher? Every time people get backslidden, quit reading their Bible, they look for the faults in the church. Look at verse 32. Woo, I'm winded. And they brought up an evil report. See, you know why? Because they were disobedient. Disobedient Christians always bring up an evil report. And what it does, it teaches your children bad habits. I wrote this down. Our children see and hear the evil reports. Oh, that preacher preaches too loud. Oh, that preacher preaches too long. Oh, I don't like the way he spits. I'm going to tell you something. Every bad thing you have to say about me and Pastor Dave and the deacons, and your kids are taking it all in. And what you're doing, you're training that child to be disobedient when they grow up, to lack faith. See, what you're doing is you're destroying that kid's life. And then lastly, number 7, because the fathers of the children lacked faith and they were disobedient to God, to God's word, and to God's man, their children lost out on blessings and victories that God wanted to give them right then. They could have got it right then. But instead they marched forward. They could have went, listen, get this. Instead of marching forward in triumph and victory, they wandered in defeat and discouragement in the desert for 40 years. All because of the heads of the children. I'm reading this and I'm done. Look at chapter 14. And look at verse 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto them, their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit within him. See, we need to get the spirit of God, fellas. We got too much the spirit of the world. Some of you guys haven't read your Bible this week. Some of you haven't even prayed this week. And you wonder, why don't God do something for me? Why don't you do something with God? Why don't you get on your knees and say, oh God, make me the leader I'm supposed to be. God, make me the man of God I'm supposed to be. Make me the Christian. Help me to have a testimony. You go to work and you laugh at all the filth. You look at the stinking, filthy pictures they put on the walls. Hello? Don't laugh at their jokes. Don't smile at them. When they use God's name in vain, say, hey, I don't appreciate that. That's right. You'd be amazed at it. I know it's 12 o'clock. I'm this close to getting done. When I was a kid, lost, I worked at Allied Chemical, 18, 19, 20, right in there. And then I got saved. Yeah, I worked in a big plant. 500, 700 guys worked in that plant. And you guys that work in plants know what I'm talking about, like General Motors and Chevy and Chrysler, in different places. Dana, Teledyne, you know the different champion. And I'm not trying to be crude, but many of those places, men would put up the naked women pictures. They hit the Playboys and stuff, or the filthy magazines. Because I used to be one, when I was younger, I'd be one that would paste them on the walls too. And then, after I got saved, I got excited about Jesus. I started going where those naked women pictures were and where we worked. And I paced the tracks up over the naked women. I would actually paste, honest to God, I did. I brought hundreds of them. I pasted over every naked woman picture in Allied Chemical.
Amen.
You cannot believe the wrath. Men got mad. Woo! I did. I'm not lying to you. And I kept it in order so they could read right. I did. I put up Chick Tracks. I put up everything I get my hand on, I put it up. And boy, they cussed me. They ain't got my face. You're talking about today. I remember going door knocking. I was in a man's house in Sylvania, Ohio. And he let me talk to him for about 30 minutes. I had my Bible. I hit a nerve. His cheek quivered. This guy was a rough guy. Brian, I thought he was going to slit my throat. He said, if you weren't a preacher, I'd kiss you right. He said, get out of my house right now. So I took my King James Bible and said, okay, sir. Sorry I offended you. And walked out. About a year later, about 3:00 in the morning, I got a phone call. He said, this is Greg. I said, what? He said, I threw you out of my house about a year ago. Matter of fact, I would have shot you if you wouldn't have been a preacher. But he said, he was crying. He said, I want you to know just now, I just trusted Christ as my Savior.
Yep.
I never forgot you coming to tell me I was going to go to hell. And he said, I wanted you to be the first one I thank to tell you I got saved. You can't beat this old book. You can't beat putting out the Word of God. Yep. You can't give it up. You can't beat giving the fruit of God.
That's right.
Can anyone say amen? Well, I got to get this done. They lost and they wandered in defeat. What did I say? Numbers 14, I'm done. I'm supposed to read 23. Then look at 25. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley tomorrow. Turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? I wonder if God says that about us. I wonder if he looks down and says, I wonder how long I should put up with this evil congregation at Bethel. By the way, we have a great church, but we still all sin. With murmurings against me. I have heard the murmurings. You think God, listen, you when you're off by your wife, you think that God don't hear it? When you talk about it, you think God don't hear it? There's nothing hidden from him. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken to my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered with you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, and have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you there of Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said shall be a prey, them will I bring in. But you know what? Even though the little ones under 20 got to go in, they still had to go through that wilderness for 40 years. They still saw their people die off. They saw the sorrow. They saw the evil. And they saw the heartache. I'm going to tell you right now, all these men of the children, these fathers of the children, what they did affected all the children's lives for 40 years. Some even died in it. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
And I wrote down, what a wasted life. They wasted 40 years. How many years are you wasting, fellas? 40 years. They wasted 40 years of their lives. Most of them died off. 40 years of wasted years. There's a song, wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. Have you gone through the life of wasted years? I leave you with this, the question. Men, today, I want to ask you, are you leading your family towards the promised land or away from it? Men, are you bringing faith and fruit and bearing fruit with your children? Or are you giving them no fruit? Men, are your children marching forward in triumph for Christ? Or are they wandering in the wilderness of sin, defeated and discouraged because of your leadership? I hate to say it. A lot of kids are being discouraged today because the fathers of the children are not leading. And it's our responsibility to lead. Remember, you, the father of the children, they will go where you lead them. They will go where you lead them. Are they heading for the promised land of blessing? Or are they heading for the land of sorrow and regret? Those fathers of the children, they made that error 3,500 years ago. I'm afraid to say, Brother Bobby, even in the fundamental churches, we're still failing our children in our leadership. Let's start putting fruit in our children. Let's start bearing fruit. It's important that preachers bear fruit.
Yes, sir.
And I'll just say this and I'll quit. In the Old Testament, where did the priests come from? The Levitical priesthood, right? Who produced the other priest? The father, that priest did. It's important that we have such fruit in our family that our children raise up to bear, especially for the ministry, because not all kids are called, but like it's important that Austin or Lukey, that we put so much spiritual truth in their life,
right,
and fruit that maybe God can call them,
right,
to take on if the Lord doesn't come back. See, us preachers are to replace the ministry with preachers.
Right.
I never told my kid he had to preach. My son didn't end up being a preacher, but he gave me my son-in-law. He still came from my family. And I'm not against that. But what I'm trying to tell you is you're supposed to be bearing children that will carry out, be deacons and Sunday school teachers and soul winners.
Right.
And Christian men and Christian ladies to be good pastors' wives and good Christian wives to teach their children like Eunice and Lois to their Timothys.
Right.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart the men will be challenged on this special Father's Day. Thank you for every man here. And I pray, dear God, today they'll be challenged. Challenged for the work of God. Challenged to be the leader that God's intended for them to be. Help them to rise up to be that, do their duty. To do their duty just to be the leader that you told them to be. They're the head of the children. And they're responsible for where they take their children, what their children doing, what happens to their children. They're responsible for those children. And how they react to you and for you determines what those their kids will end up like in most cases. If they're unfaithful Christians, they'll probably produce unfaithful children. If they're people of faith, there's a good chance they'll produce children of faith. Help us to be the producers, the fruit bearers of much fruit. Help us as they brought back from the promised land. Much fruit. Help us to bring back the grapes of escrow with our children and our wife. I pray these things in my heart for the name of Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What about it today? Are you a leader for your family that God wants you to be? How many would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. Today, God did speak to me. And I'm not the leader I'm supposed to be. And I need to be that leader. Pray that God will help me be that leader. Just who'd say that today? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. How about you ladies? Are you leaders? Are you the leaders in your home like God intended you to be? Maybe today we ought to get at the old-fashioned altar and say, God, help me to be the leader of the children that you've given us. And if you're going to get, we have four to be baptized today. On this first verse, when we sing, I want you people that are going to get baptized to come forward.